All right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn back over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 this morning. And we are going to continue through with our lesson on knowledge. Knowledge. To know God's Word. And we last left off... 2 weeks ago, we didn't have class last week, but when we last left off, we looked at the Christian's example, choice, and tool for learning, how we as Christians can learn the Word of God, how we can learn the Bible, also our responsibility for learning that if we're going to draw closer to God, if we're going to draw closer to the Lord, if we're going to... know what it is God wants us to know, then the responsibility is ours. I mean, yes, you can come to church and you can come to the services and I can teach it to you, I can preach to you, but ultimately you're going to have to take what you get in church, take it home, and apply it on your own, read your own Bible, have your own prayer time, have your own devotions, find things that work for you that help you to learn more and, you know, soak in the Bible. And so... this morning, we want to continue that, and we're going to see one of the ways that we learn the Bible and gain knowledge. But who'd like to read there? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 this morning. Katie, go ahead.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
All right. And so that's the key we want to focus on, increasing in the knowledge of God. We want to know God's Word, and it is possible to know God's Word. You know, sometimes we look at the Bible and we look at the 66 books that compose the Bible, and you know, it can be daunting, it can be challenging. I mean, you think of, you know, back when you were in high school or college, and you know, I mean, what's the maximum course load you can take in college? What, 5-6 classes maybe any given semester? And so what, that's 5-6 textbooks, and I mean, that, nine classes, oh my soul. And so, yes, sir.
I'm lost, where are we?
Oh.
No papers in the bag?
Yes, did you grab them?
I just told you that. How do we listen to them?
Where are we?
We're on number 2,
reading.
Okay.
Reading?
Okay, what did you say? No, we're on...
are we on the first page still?
We're on the first page. Back page.
Oh, are we on preaching?
Like we're on preaching, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are we in section
oh,
B?
Oh, okay.
So
we're on preaching.
We're on preaching.
Oh, we're still on that.
Yes, yes, yes.
And,
we're
back here.
We're
Yes, right here. Welcome to class.
But, you know, you get those textbooks in college and, you know, you expect it to read them or learn them or whatever the case be. And those can be daunting, and those are only 5 or 6 books. And then you get into the Bible, which is really just one book, but it has the 66 books that comprise it. And so, but we can know it, we can learn it, we can draw closer to it. And so one of the ways we do that is through preaching. One of the ways we do it is through preaching. Now in the Bible, that word preaching means to call out, to herald, or proclaim. And so... this definition gives us, you think of the town crier, you know, you think of Paul Revere, the British are coming, the British are coming. And that's what the idea of preaching has to do. And what's that?
Is the British are here.
Is that what it said? It wasn't the British are coming?
That's what we were taught in school, but it's not right.
The British are here.
Really?
And they also cried out the hour every hour.
Yes.
It's 10 o'clock and all as well.
I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I did not ever hear that. That is interesting. Thank you.
You increased
my knowledge.
That doesn't have
nothing. And but it has the idea to do with the town crier. And you know, one who used to give notice in the courtroom or the town, and God has given the pastor the job to be the crier. In the church to give notice of God's Word and all of God's Word, Genesis through Revelation. And God says that as pastors, we must give an account for the souls in the congregation. So one day, we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account based on what we taught or what we didn't teach. And, you know, that's a very, when you think about it, that's a very heavy responsibility because, you know, sometimes in order, and, you know, and we're all susceptible to this because we like to be liked and, you know, all the rest. And so some pastors will hold back on some things in the Bible. But, you know, if a pastor really takes his job seriously, he's going to preach everything that's in the Bible. He's going to teach everything that's in the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept, no matter, you know, what it says. Or, you know, sometimes it might step on toes. It might, not sit right with some people. But that's his job, because he gives an account for the souls in the congregation. And Hebrews 13, the Bible tells us that we must, as pastors, watch for the members' souls. That we need to always be on the lookout, always on guard. And two responsibilities of the pastor are to preach the word and to feed the flock. And then three things we find in 2 Timothy 4:2 will answer many questions regarding preaching. And so, who'd like to read there? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. Miss Martha, go ahead. All right, thank you then, Miss Martha. And so we see the very first thing that is to be preached. And what is to be preached?
The Word
of God. We're to preach the Word. And so the preaching service is not a time for me as the pastor, as the preacher, to get up and give my opinion. It's not time for me to get up and give my preferences. It's not time for me to get up and give you some anecdote or some, you know, feel-good story or whatever the case may be. But it's a time for me to give you God's Word. It's a time for me to give you what the Bible says and how you can, number one, know what it's saying, but then apply what it's saying to your day-by-day life. And so it does not matter what the hearer who's listening to it thinks. It only matters that the pastor is obedient to preach the Bible. You're there in 2 Timothy. Flip over one book, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And who'd like to read there verse number 3? Titus chapter 1 and verse number 3. Michaela, go ahead, sweetie. All right, and so we see there that in due time, that means, when you see that word due time, it means just at the right time, that it didn't come a moment too soon, it didn't come a moment too later, but in due times manifested his what?
Word.
His word through preaching. And so that's what it means when we talk about preaching. Flip back there, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, go ahead, Neil. And verse 4.
Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word.
All right, and so we see there, they went everywhere preaching the what?
The word.
The word. So everywhere they went, they were always preaching, they were always teaching, they were always proclaiming and heralding the word. And then finally, Acts 15 and verse 35. Acts 15 and verse 35. Ms. Martha, go ahead.
Acts 15, verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also.
All right, and so we see they were teaching and preaching again the what?
Word.
The word. And so we see there that the Lord places a very heavy emphasis on the Bible. He places a very heavy emphasis on the Word of God. And so we see what's to be preached. The Bible is to be preached. But then secondly, we see what preaching should do. And preaching should do three things. Number one, it should reprove, it should rebuke, and it should exhort. Now, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, now, when you look at those words do not sound very pleasant. Those words do not sound very happy. But these are what Christians need to increase in knowledge. If we're going to get to know the Bible, if we're going to get to learn the Word of God, then it needs to be allowed to reprove us, to rebuke us, and to exhort us. So you think just as a child left to himself, you know, the Bible tells us that child brings his mother to shame. Well, the same is true for Christians. Christians who are left to follow their own sin nature bring shame to the Heavenly Father, bring shame to our Savior. And so, as the pastor, the preacher, the missionary, the evangelist, whoever's preaching, as they preach the Bible, as they preach the Word, those who are listening can find out more of what God wants from his children. And so, again, we see three things that the preaching should do. Number one, it should reprove. It should reprove. And so the definition of the word reprove is to confute or admonish. To confute or admonish. And so we think of the best explanation of this, and that's to bring the light. And so we think of just as a flashlight, you take it into a dark room, that flashlight, it brings light to that dark room. To light the object that you shine the flashlight upon. Well, the Bible will bring light to the areas in the Christian's life that need improvement. That's why the Bible says it's like a mirror. It pierces even the dividing asunder of heart and spirit, of bone and marrow, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, knowing the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so we see here that the Bible will show us just what we need to improve in our life. And that's why many Christians, they don't like to read it, because it shows us what needs to be worked on. It shows us what needs to be improved. And so 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, "There all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." That means it's good. It's good for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so when we think about being admonished, we don't usually think of being admonished as a good thing. None of us like to be admonished. None of us like to be corrected. None of us like to be, to use the Bible word, reproved. None of us like that. But then the Bible goes on to say it's profitable for you. It's good for you to be reproved. But not only that, the Bible is to rebuke. The Bible is to rebuke, and this word is defined as to tax upon, to forbid. And so, when you rebuke somebody, that means you scold them sharply. You ever remember growing up, if your parents ever scolded you? That's what it means. That means they rebuked you. And what's that?
Never happened.
Never happened. Never. You were an angel, weren't you? Angel. Sometimes preaching can seem harsh, but you have to remember what the Bible says, Hebrews 12:11, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And so oftentimes, folks get hung up on the style of delivery or the words that the preacher uses, and they think, man, that's kind of harsh. But then you stop to think, well, no, it's it yieldeth some good things in our life. And so Revelation 3:19, the Bible says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And so this morning we see if God loves you, then he's going to rebuke you. Just like if your parents love you, then they're going to correct you. They're going to admonish you. They're going to scold you. Yes, Ms. Rose.
Yeah, when I was growing up, my dad could balance a fork on his thumb and his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And at the dinner table, if it was pointed at you, everybody else breathed a sigh of relief.
Oh, no. So they didn't want the fork pointed at them.
No.
No.
Oh
boy, yeah, see, no one wants to be rebuked. Nobody wants to be admonished or scolded or anything like that. But we see that the Bible's to reprove, it's to rebuke. But so those first two are negative. But then we get into a little bit of the positive with what it's supposed to do thirdly, and that's to exhort. The Bible's to exhort. That means to encourage, to call near, or invite is the meaning of that word, exhort, to urge by strong argument. Would also aptly define that word exhort. And this would explain why we have the invitation at the end of the service, why we have the altar call, why we have the time for people to respond, to invite the people who are listening to make a decision based on what has been heard. It's not so that folks can say, oh, we had this many people at the altar or whatever the case may be, but to allow folks to make that decision on, okay, this is what the Bible said today. This is how I'm going to apply it. And Lord, with your help, this is how I'm going to apply it. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, but exhort one another daily, which is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so we see this is something we need to do daily. This is something we need to do on a day-by-day basis, is to encourage, exhort, to invite, to call near, to it needs to be a day-by-day basis. Bless you. And so we see what should be preached. We see what preaching should do. And then thirdly this morning, we see how preaching should be given. We see how preaching should be given. And it should be given with all long-suffering and doctrine. It should be given with all long-suffering and doctrine. That word long-suffering is simply forbearance or patience. You know, the preacher, the pastor, the missionary, the evangelist, whatever the case may be, whoever is preaching, his ultimate desire is to see people change. And to see people change immediately. However, he realizes at the same time Christian growth is a process. It's not a procedure where, okay, he preaches once and then all of a sudden everybody's on the same level and everybody's exactly where they need to be and everybody's exactly the way they should be in the sight of God. It doesn't work that way. Preaching is a And Christian growth is a process, not a procedure. This also explains why, you know, sometimes you may, you say, you know, Pastor, you preached that before. Or you taught that before. That's why we do repetition. So that we can ingrain it. So that we can remind you of certain things that need to be reminded. Who would like to look up there? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Ms. Martha, go ahead.
Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe.
All right, and so we see here, there in Philippians 3:1, the second part, it says, to write the what?
Same.
The same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is what?
Safe.
It is safe. And so, as we think about those things that are taught, those things that are preached, they are to be the same things. They are to be things that are safe to you that you can take and you can increase in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, we see what doctrine is this morning. We see what doctrine is this morning. And doctrine is made up of both instruction and teaching. Preaching is to edify and teach a Christian so that he might grow in the Lord. And preaching will add knowledge to the Christian's faith. So that's what doctrine is. It's made up of both instruction and teaching. And so we think this morning about some of our doctrine and some of the things that we believe as a church. And so if you ever go on our website, and a lot of folks, they, when they're looking for churches, they're looking to go visit a church, one of the first things they'll do is that they'll go on the church's website, they'll visit the church's website, to see what the church believes, to see what the church is all about. And so one of the things you'll find on the church's website is our beliefs or our doctrine, what we believe. And We summarize it very succinctly, so it's not our full doctrinal statement that we have in the church bylaws, but there on the website, this is our doctrine. So this is what we mean when we say doctrine. And so this is our doctrine. We exist to glorify God and share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ by loving people, preaching God's word, seeing souls saved, and lives changed. And then we go in, separated from worldly practices, independent from denominationalism, fundamental in faith and practice, Bible-believing, the King James Bible is the final authority, non-charismatic, not affiliated with the modern 20th century Pentecostal movement, soul-winning, believing in and practicing personal evangelism, missionary-hearted, supporting world missions through faith-promised missions, Baptist, affirming the historic Baptist distinctives, church, local, autonomous, New Testament. And then we get into it and we break down a little bit further. We say we believe the Bible to be the inerrant, infallible Word of God, verbally inspired as well as providentially preserved for us in our King James English translation. We also stand opposed to all modern versions and paraphrases of the Holy Scriptures. Regarding God, we believe God is one God manifested in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Regarding Christ, we believe Christ was virgin-born, lived a sinless life, and died a substitutionary death. The Lord Jesus Christ ascended, and His return is imminent, will be personal, visible, premillennial, and pre-tribulational. Regarding man, we believe man was created by the direct act of God, and man fell into sin by yielding to Satan's temptation and in direct disobedience to God's word. Regarding sin, we believe sin is universal and the human race is totally depraved. With Box Elder Bug? Regarding salvation, we believe salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. The conditions to salvation are repentance and faith. Regarding the ordinances of the local church, the ordinances of the local church are the Lord's Supper and water baptism by immersion are to be administered and practiced by the local church. Regarding the resurrection, the second coming, we believe the bodies of the just and the unjust will be raised from the dead. The saved will enjoy a literal heaven forever, and the lost will suffer in a literal hell eternally. The local Baptist church is Christ's ordained institution to preach the word and fulfill His commission to take the gospel to the whole world. And finally, as a Baptist church, we oppose all fellowship with the charismatic movement, Calvinism, and ecumenical evangelism. So that's doctrine. That's what we believe according to the Bible. That's what we believe according to the Word of God. And that's what doctrine is. It's instruction and teaching. Teaching you why we believe, what we believe, where we believe it, and so on and so forth. And so that's what we see preaching is to do this morning. And now next week we'll finish up our lesson on knowledge by looking at reading and studying. Reading and studying the Word of God. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?